So here we are once again, Porky. It's time for yet another sparkling edition of the Two Mics on the Record. We are the Two Mics. You're Mike Parry.
Yeah.
Who am I?
You're Mike Graham.
Thank you very much. We're going to do now Porky Vision.
We are, yeah.
I prefer if you don't call me low face while we do these particular
broadcasts. People agree with me. Your face looks like a loaf with glasses on.
People say that, but I mean, these are usually the Porky Army types.
Yeah,
I was approached by an entire family of Two Mics fans the other day.
Oh, yeah?
As I was coming out of the underground station.
Right.
And they all wanted selfies. We all listened to Two Mics. Yeah. There was a dad, a son, a daughter, their dog.
Good.
They were all very, very happy to
like
meet
it.
Me. Yeah. They didn't say anything about low face.
No,
so,
okay, yeah.
You know, I don't think it's sticking, to be
just
honest.
Just being kind, you know.
Yeah, I know, probably. Now, it's time for Porky Vision.
Yes, that's
There's
right.
been an awful lot of great TV on recently.
Fantastic.
You know, The Bodyguard's only just finished.
Fantastic.
Everybody raved about
that. If people want to know what the future is, it's obviously Netflix and all these sort of things. You know, Sky, Atlantic and all that kind of stuff. Fantastic programmes. Now, the programme I'm going to finish this bit with is Killing Eve, right?
Oh, yes.
Which is utterly fantastic. It's almost like tongue-in-cheek assassinations, you know what I mean? And very, very good. But the one I'll start with is a one called Succession. And it's about a very wealthy media mogul in America who is clearly nearing, you know, retirement or even the end of his life.
Is this based on the Rupert Murdoch family, by any chance?
You have to say it's an international multimedia family with the father who's created it, the sons who are the heirs to it and all that. Yeah. And it's called Succession because it's all about the wrangling and the infighting about who's going to take over, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that the leader, and by the way, can we disassociate this from the Murdoch family altogether, please? Because, you know, the Kerry Packer family was the same in Australia, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You know.
And the Maxwell family, to an extent,
family,
even though
it was
a lot longer ago. And also, actually, I mean, almost all of the big media families in America, like the Hearst family, were a family.
Of course they were.
You know, we've also got the people that owned I think the Hearsts owned the Tribune, didn't they?
Yeah, they did own the Tribune,
And then you've also got
had a castle in Connecticut, didn't they?
Yes, they did, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, the sort of the media mogul types have always been families.
Yeah, that's right, absolutely, yeah, because it started from small time and grew up big.
Yeah.
But this one stars Brian Cox. Have we mentioned him before on one of these shows?
Brian Cox has been mentioned before.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, I was reading something about Brian Cox the other day. In which he was described as a bit of a belligerent, difficult character on the set of anything he was ever on.
Right.
And I've met Brian Cox because he's Scottish, of course.
That's right,
so I used to go to the odd do that he would turn up at.
Yeah.
And he's not a man that likes the media, funnily
enough. No,
he's very unkeen on the media.
He's like Hugh, what's his name? You know,
Hugh Grant.
Yeah, his whole life has been based on promoting himself in the media, but he doesn't like them if they say something a bit horrible about him, you know?
No. And he thinks that they're rather distasteful people.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Elizabeth Hurley's been in the news recently, and that's because she says the most important man in my life is my son.
Yeah.
And that's because her son takes all the racy pictures of
her. Isn't that a bit weird?
It's a bit weird to me. I couldn't get that. But anyway, getting back to Succession. So what happens is...
This is not that show that you described before of the guy standing in the window.
Yes, that's right, doing
unacceptable
things. No, we're not doing that again.
I can't hear that again.
No, and I wish I hadn't actually related it, because it is revolting.
It
is actually worse, because what happens is that... I'm not going to go into detail.
Please.
But the daughter, there's a daughter, there's three sons. One son runs a huge farm in New Mexico.
Okay.
I mean, when I say huge, I mean like 35,000 acres or something like that.
Not at all in the business.
Not in the business. Right. He's the one who decided to go off and do farming or whatever, you know. And then another son is just a layabout when he gets dragged into the family because, you know, maybe the father's going to step down. But the one who's really, really ambitious to take over is called... The girl, the daughter's called Shiv or something. The one who's going to take over is called... I can't remember his name now. Because they've all got funny names. They've all got funny names. But
are they not supposed to be American then? Are they from another
They
part
are American,
of the world?
Definitely. But they're of Scottish ancestry.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Which, funny enough, Mr. Murdoch is as well. His grandfather,
I think so,
was a priest, wasn't it? A churchman, I think, in Scotland.
He might have been. I'm not sure.
I think he was. Yeah, before he went to Australia. Anyway, point of the story is.
Yeah.
That the you know, the patriarch of the family suddenly announces, actually, I'm staying on for another 5 years.
Uh-huh.
Now, the son and heir, who thinks he's taken over, has been telling all his mates, you know, from the Harvard...
Business
you know,
school.
And the Harvard... What do they call it? The where all these guys get together and they stay together for years. What's it called? You know, all these clubs at Harvard and
Yale.
The fraternity.
Oh, I see. Oh, he's actually still at college, is he?
Oh, no. But he keeps in touch with them from 20 years ago.
Right.
You know, telling all his mates in the frat, I'll send me in charge and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
So the father turns around. around and says, no, I decided to stay on.
Yeah.
And the father was brutal in his relationships, you know, with the rest of the family. Yeah. You know, keeps saying, you know, you did that deal, you're a fucking idiot. all they want is their father's approval, yeah, you know. And then somebody does another deal and he says, you did that? No fucking money, you're not running this company, you know, and all that kind of stuff, you know. Yeah. And, but it gets awful when the daughter is marrying a bloke, excuse me, who now works inside the company.
Okay.
And they go to his, what we would describe as his stag night.
Yeah.
But it's awful.
Mm.
They hire this underground nightclub, for want of a better word, in Manhattan, which is so disgraceful in what's going on there. You know,
what
people
do you mean, debauched?
Yeah, people chained to walls while things are being done to them and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Well, sort of S&M type places.
Well, I mean, not everybody's subjected to it. No. There are rooms you could go into and rooms you could come out of. And
I've seen places like that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, you know.
Not a pretty sight.
Not a pretty sight and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, it's got to the stage now where, first of all, the said son tried to make a boardroom coup.
Yeah.
He enlisted members of the board to sit down in the board meeting with him, deliver a vote of no confidence to his father, and thought he had a 7-5 majority to displace his father on the board. Oh, guess what?
He did.
His helicopter broke down on the way to the meeting.
Oh, dear.
So he had to get a car through the Lincoln Tunnel into Manhattan and all that.
Yeah.
Lincoln Tunnel, absolutely, you know,
rammed.
Yeah. Some sort of accident at the other end, couldn't get, got out, started sprinting through the Lincoln Tunnel into Manhattan Central. Uh-huh. Got there too late for the vote. He got voted out. So Charles said, fuck off, you know, and fuck off forever, you know, because he tried to topple him. Mm. Anyway, so he went off and then started stuffing, like, fantastic amounts of cocaine up his nose and taking acid and all that kind of stuff, you know.
How old is he meant to be, this guy?
About 40.
Okay.
And playing pool in downtown, you know,
pool halls.
Out-of-town pool halls, you know, all that kind of stuff and all that. And then gets approached by another guy who says, yeah, despite the fact that you've been booted out by your father, you still own 15% of the stock, don't you? He said, yeah, but, you know, what's it worth to me now, you know? Said, well, it's worth a lot if we put a lot of stockholders together and we'll buy your father out, you know. So he's now into a second plot to try and oust his father. And that's going to be another showdown. And I have seen the showdown.
Yes.
But I'm not going to tell anybody what it is in case this podcast doesn't reach you until after it.
And how many parts does this particular series have?
Ten.
Yeah. And so you're, what, halfway through?
No. We've had nine.
Oh, you're already
through nine. Yeah, absolutely, Well, this has been going on for a long time.
Yeah, because I think the first time you talked about the horrible incident by the curtain.
Awful.
In the high-rise thing. I mean, that was a couple of months ago.
Oh, a couple of months ago, yeah. But also, the daughter now has enlisted with the Democratic challenger to the president.
Oh, yeah.
The president is a friend of Brian Cox, you know, the media empire boss.
The mogul.
Yeah. She's befriended the Democrat challenger, much to her father's horror.
Yeah,
and he is a real left winger. You know, he's the guy who tried to take the Democratic Party last time.
Okay,
you know the guy I'm talking about.
Yes, I do know. The guy I'm talking about.
I can't remember his name now.
Yeah, do you mean you're talking about the independent guy from Vermont?
Yeah, that's right.
Bernie Sanders.
That's right. Yeah,
so it's a bit like that. Well, that all sounds very highfalutin and powerful.
Yeah, it is.
Very different to Killing Eve, which is what you start talking about.
Yeah, and by the way, there's too much of the old sadomasochistic stuff and all that. And the language is awful. I mean, look, you and I have used industrial language all our lives to get our point over.
Mm.
But every other word out their mouth includes the F word.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, even if they're talking to each other over a sandwich at breakfast, you know, what the fuck do you know about it? You know, I fucking know. You know, fuck off. And it's really too much.
After a while, it just gets me too much.
Yeah. Now, Killing Eve, right?
Killing Eve, yes.
Killing Eve is so terrific. It stars the woman, if you can get it in your head. Do you remember Dr. Foster?
I didn't really see Dr.
Foster. Okay, I saw Dr. Foster. Dr. Foster was all about a doctor whose husband started nobbing a much younger woman, aged about 24 or 25, who was the daughter of one of their friends of equal age. You see what I mean?
Right.
And Dr. Foster brilliantly invited herself around there one night for dinner, you know, with her husband. And, of course, you know, the sheer terror of him sitting there and his mistress, who's the daughter of his friend, sitting opposite, you know, fantastic tension
and
all that.
And so she knew that that was the woman he was shagging?
She knew.
Right.
She'd had him followed and, you know, intercepted
And wasn't she some kind of a sex symbol as well?
Who?
Dr. Foster.
Oh, Dr. Foster went around shagging his accountant to find out about his business.
Yeah.
She shagged his lawyer to find out about, you know, what his status was.
And what was her name? Because I didn't know she was
Her name was Suran Jones.
That's it, Suran Jones. You previously mentioned her in passing.
That's right,
As one of your sort of fabled fabled female fatales.
Anyway, Killing Eve is a bit of a sort of misnomer for this series, right, because Eve is, in fact, the MI6 appointed officer,
yes,
who's been detailed to track down the killer, whose name nobody knows.
Is Chinese woman, Eve?
Eve is the Chinese woman.
Yeah.
And what happened with her was...
She was apparently in Chicago Hope.
In what?
Chicago Hope.
What was that?
Do you remember that show that came from America? It's a bit like ER, when George Clooney was in.
Yeah.
And she was later in Grey's Anatomy, apparently.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which is quite a popular show. But she started off, as far as everybody can tell, in Chicago Hope, which is the name of the hospital.
Right.
It's like ER, except without George Clooney.
Okay, fine. Oh, that's good. Right, so what happens is, so we really don't know the name of the killer because she's got so many pseudonyms, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all this kind of stuff.
She's quite brutal.
She's incredibly brutal. She's a psychopath.
I saw the one where she sticks the needle in the eye of the guy. In Italy.
And it's not just a needle, it's a hypodermic. She then pushes the poison into his body.
The only problem I had with that scene was that surely if you put a big needle in somebody's eye, now regardless of the fact that there's no blood in your eye, if you go all the way through into a socket, surely blood's going to spurt out.
Well, there's so many anomalies, which I'll get to in a minute. Mm. But anyway, this woman is in her mid-20s. She's 25 in the series.
Right.
And she's a psychopath.
Yeah.
And I shudder when I see she's killed somebody else and she just smiles or sits there and waves bye-bye to them or something like that. You know what I mean? But there are some anomalies. She is controlled by some bloke who clearly runs a killing agency and has more than one assassin.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And for instance, if the Chinese government want rid of one of their diplomats while he's on tour in Europe, they ring up this bloke who runs a killing agency, and then it's a bit like MI6. They put their best person onto it, you know what I mean?
Right.
And she gets lots of jobs.
Yeah.
In fact, she did kill a Chinese diplomat in the last episode before one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the one that I thought was stretching belief is... There's a woman who's fantastically successful in the world of fashion and magazines and modelling.
Right.
A bit like the Devil Wore Prada woman.
Oh, Anna Wintour.
Anna Wintour,
Nuclear Wintour, as they
call her. Nuclear Wintour and all that kind of stuff, yeah. Mm. And so, this one is the master of disguise, gets herself into the hotel where it's all happening, you know, poses as a waitress and all that, and then gets down the stairs to the exclusive VIP ladies' loo, even though somebody says, you can't go down there, she says, Madame asked me to take her a tampon.
Right.
And she produces a tampon, you know.
Because nobody can question it.
No, exactly, nobody can question it. So he's very clever like that. But she gets in there, and then she says, oh, Madame, you know, you are my hero. No, I have made a perfume myself. This woman is like, she's not really actually a journalist. Mm. She's like Helena Rubinstein.
Oh, okay.
She runs a huge cosmetics company, okay?
Right. Yeah.
And nobody knows why anybody wants her dead.
I don't think I've seen this. Is this the second one you're talking about?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
see,
yeah.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, I'm telling you.
Why are you telling me the story?
Well, I'm fucking telling you, man. It's your fault you haven't seen it.
Well,
it's your problem.
Well, I've just started watching
it. Yeah, well, tough luck.
Yeah.
So
what
happens is, we've already seen her with a gas mask on, preparing this perfume.
Yeah.
Which, it's a bit like the old Russians in this country in Salisbury, you know, it's all the same.
The old Novichok Brigade.
Yeah, so the woman, so she takes her a tampon, you know, she didn't want a tampon, actually, that was just a ruse to get in there, you know. She said, oh, madame, I've brought you champagne.
Yeah.
So that's very kind of you. She's got her own personal loo, you see.
Right.
Massive. I mean, it's the size of a, you know, a Westminster Cathedral.
Yeah.
But it's her own because she's so important, you know.
She can't get to the toilet.
That's right. She says, is your champagne okay, madame? Yeah. She says, may I speak to you? She says, I don't have time to speak to servants.
Yeah.
She says, oh, you know, and she starts crying. And she produces this perfume and says, you have inspired me all my life. You know, I've worked for years and years for no money.
Yeah.
But now I have developed a perfume. And it would please me so much if you would just smell it. Mm-hmm. Please, you know, please make my life. So then she says, OK. So she sprays a bit on her wrist.
Yeah.
And she sniffs it and she dies.
And it's
deadly. Yeah, it's deadly, yeah.
Blimey.
But the problem is, with that, is that what happened to the bottle? She put the bottle back in her pocket and took it home. And then, this is how callous this woman is, she gets home and she's shagging some bloke who brings the pizza around, you know? She wanted to shag, you know?
Well, I was a bit shocked at one stage in the first episode where somebody comes to see her and she's in bed with two people.
Yeah.
One of them is a woman and
one
of them is a bloke.
Yes, that's right, yes.
And the guy says, can you get rid of your friends?
Yeah, that's
right. I want to talk to you.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So he's obviously had a threesome.
Yeah, that's right. He was the killer master, you know, he's the guy who runs the agency.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so she shags the bloke with the pizza and all that kind of stuff. Mm. On the way out, he sees the perfume in her bag, which is on the hall side table.
Uh-huh.
And he thinks, that'll do for my girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
So he picks it up goes outside. Next thing you hear is, hear this crashing noise as he crashes back through the door. He sprayed it on himself and he's dead.
And he's dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That does sound a bit weird. Yeah. I'll tell you what was weird as well, related to kind of spies and things like that.
Yeah.
And that was, did you read the piece in one of the papers the other day? Remember Stephen Milligan? Who died in rather mysterious circumstances.
Yeah, they say now that the KGB might have done it.
Well, that's what they're now saying.
Yeah.
I can't say I believe that, do you?
Well, I'd believe anything about international espionage.
Really?
Yeah, because again, in Killing Eve, right, the Chinese guy who went, do you know how he went? It wasn't pleasant.
How did he go?
Well, he was a sadomasochist type guy.
Oh,
he used to go to this place in Berlin where what he really liked was having his bollocks put in a vice. Right? Yeah, he loved it. He loved it.
I mean, why would you?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't
also,
know.
You know. The question I always have for these guys is, how did you know you liked that?
I don't know.
You know,
where
I mean,
did
at what
first
point, you know, did you have an accident and somehow find your balls trapped in a vice?
Exactly.
You know, do you remember that scene in, I think it was one of the, was it Casino?
Yeah.
Or one of those movies, or, or Goodfellas maybe, where they put the guy's head in a vice.
Oh, yeah.
And they basically squeeze his head so hard that his eyes pop out.
Oh, dear.
It's horrible.
Oh, it's horrible, yeah. But anyway, so he sits over this vice, they put his bollocks in it, and she tightens it up, you know, because she's killed the masseurs and taken her place.
This is, you know, so he thinks he's getting a massage.
He thinks he's getting a massage, yeah, but you know, she knows all about this.
Right.
So she's winding it round, and then it gets so painful that that he has to be given oxygen, right?
Right.
But what the killer has done is she swapped oxygen for carbon dioxide.
Not the perfume.
Right. No, carbon dioxide. Right. Clamps it on his face.
Right.
So it's
That's the end of him.
Yeah, so he dies. Yeah.
Imagine being found with your balls in a vice, dead.
That's right, yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah.
So,
right.
What else have you been watching then?
Now, I've been watching this great one, and it's on Sky Atlantic, and it's called The Vikings, right?
The Vikings?
Yeah.
I think I've seen The Vikings trailer. I've never actually seen The Vikings.
Well, years ago, old what's his name, Kirk Douglas, who's now 102, was in the original Vikings film. Yeah, he's still alive. And Tony Curtis was in it as well.
Are you not thinking of Spartacus?
No.
Are you sure?
No, definitely not. Well, okay, maybe
I
Kirk
think it was Spartacus.
No. Definitely Kirk Douglas is in Spartacus.
Yeah.
Tony Curtis is in this one,
is
called
he?
The Vikings, from 50 years ago.
I am Spartacus.
But I'm not sure Kirk Douglas was in it, you know.
No.
But, I mean, at
he
one
might
stage,
as well have been.
They stake old Tony Curtis out, you know, in the cave where the water comes in to drown him.
Okay.
But, you know, some woman's fallen in love with him, like Cleopatra or something, and
what's
gets
Cleopatra
him free.
What does Cleopatra do with the Vikings?
Well, I don't know. You know, they're just like Cleopatra-looking women, okay?
Yeah, okay.
So, anyway...
this is when the Vikings famously invaded Egypt, is it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, probably, yeah, whatever, you know. Anyway, so I thought, oh, this would be good. It'll just be like people, you know, like killing each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is a lot of that in it.
Right. Any sort of burning of longboats or anything like that?
Well, funny you should say that. What happens is, it's very brutal, by the way.
Yeah.
So what happens is that the Vikings live in scattered settlements, but every 6 months they have to go and see the big boss, you know, in the big town, and pay their tithes and all that kind of stuff.
Is he like the king with the big horns?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then he instructs them where they're going to go raiding this year to get lots more loot and pillage and all that. Well, this one bloke who is in rebellion, he wants to sail west and says there is a great land if we sail west.
Right.
And the big chief says, we're not fucking going west.
Right.
We haven't got enough navigation equipment. We don't have anything there.
Right.
You go east.
Right.
Well, go east means like you just go up and down the fjords and then you land and then you raid somewhere. And he says, well, you know, it's not any fun anymore.
Or you end up in Russia or something, don't you?
Eh?
If you go east from Scandinavia.
Yeah, you would, yeah. But you go up the fjords and all that kind of stuff. You know,
right.
Remember, longboats only had sails, didn't have motors or anything.
No.
So, anyway, this bloke who is the rebel suddenly finds a magic piece of navigation equipment made for him by some, you know, nutty fucking bloke who lives in the forest, you know what I mean?
Right.
And what it is, it's a sundial.
Uh-huh.
And it can work out from the sundial which way is west, because they didn't know how to go west, because they didn't have any compasses in those days, okay?
Well, they knew the sun set in the west, presumably.
I'm not sure if they even knew that. They used to navigate by the stars, but they didn't know what was the end of the stars, you see. So anyway, you know, the rebel says we should go west. He says, no, you're going fucking east, I told you. But the rebel then somehow manages to get enough dosh together to have a boat built for himself in the forest.
Okay.
And he launches.
It's not a very good place to build a boat, is it?
Well, there's a lot of forest. Well, there's a lot of wood in the forest.
Well, yeah, but what about how you're going to get it?
Well,
to the
you
water?
Train it then. You tow it to the water, you know, on like logs. You know what I mean? You know, like it's like how they got the fucking stones to Stonehenge.
Well, nobody
you know?
Knows how they did that.
Yeah, they, of course they did. How do you think they carried it?
They
think they fucking
knows.
Carried the stones down.
Nobody knows where the stones came from.
Bollocks! They came from Wales.
No, they didn't.
They did.
No, because I tell you why you know that they didn't come from Wales is that they tried to reenact bringing them from Wales.
Yeah.
Do you remember? And they brought them to the fucking Bristol Channel.
Yes.
And they went, right, how'd they get them across here?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. They put them in a boat, right?
And they sunk.
So they put it in a boat. Yeah. Fucking went straight down the bottom.
Well, they went landwise, didn't they?
No,
obviously.
No, they couldn't have.
Obviously.
Nobody knows.
Anyway, listen, point of the story is, so he managed to get a boat.
What's his name, this Viking? Thor?
No. Rhaegar.
Rhaegar?
Rhaegar, Rhaegar. Okay. Not Radar, Rhaegar.
Rhaegar, yeah, got it.
So old Rhaegar on his boat. Anyway. In order to have a boat, you've got to have an anchor.
An anchor.
Because when you arrive at, you know, the big island, they're not even calling it England. They call it Mercia, I think, or something like that. You know,
Mercia?
No, Northumbria. Northumbria, that's right, Northumbria. Right. You need to, like, drop anchor.
Right.
So your boat doesn't float off while you're pillaging and raping, you know?
Right.
So anyway, so he sets off.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the big chief realises he's not at the next meeting.
Yeah.
And he sends a load of guys over. Where's Rhaegar? You know, oh, I don't know, you know. And then somebody says, I saw him set sail in a boat.
Oh,
a boat? We didn't authorise him to go set sail in a boat. Where the fuck is he? So they
is
go.
Is this meant to be some kind of historically accurate portrayal?
Well, it's pretty good,
really?
I'd say.
It sounds like loads of bollocks.
So anyway, they go and see the blacksmith.
Uh-huh.
And they say, blacksmith. Yes. Yeah.
Have any of these people got names?
No, he's just a blacksmith.
Yeah.
Have you made an anchor recently for a boat?
Right.
Oh, no, sir. I've not made an anchor for a boat recently. I would have remembered. Well, actually, you would remember making an anchor.
Would,
it's a fucking big thing.
It
you know?
Is big,
made of metal. You
very,
know?
Heavy.
Very heavy. Very heavy, that's all that. And they say, we don't believe you. Mm. And he says, I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah.
So they tie his hands behind his back,
right.
And they bring his head down over his fiery fire, you know, where all his hot irons are and all that.
Right.
And say, did you build an anchor? Or do we have to put your daughter on this fire?
Yeah.
He said, no, please don't put my daughter on the fire. I did build an anchor.
Yeah.
So you've lied to me, blacksmith.
Lied to them, yeah.
He said, yes. He said, okay, cop for this. And then they push his head into the coals, right, you know, and melt his face.
It's very brutal.
No, it's very brutal, yeah. But then you know, they switch back to the voyage that old Rhaegar's taken, and they land in Lindisfarne, Holy Island,
right?
And of course,
one of your favourite places.
One of my favourite places. And of course, there's a monastery there where all the fucking monks are, you know, inscribing Bibles. That's all they do all day, by the way.
Illuminated manuscripts.
Yeah, 16 hours a day, they just paint Bibles.
Yeah.
That's all they do and pray.
Yeah.
And then
I mean, they're monks, aren't they?
They sleep for 8 hours and then they get up and they don't talk to each other.
They're not going to have mad S&M parties, are they?
No, they're not, Anyway, so the Vikings arrive and they think, you know, who are these dickheads, you know? So they break into the monastery.
Yeah.
And they just fucking massacre them all. You just take that one, you know, sword straight through them.
Yeah.
Cut a few heads off, you know. Cut their bollocks off as well, you know, for a bit of fun and all that kind of thing. All these fuckers, you know.
Right.
And then they decide, actually, let's not kill too many more.
Yeah.
We can take them home as slaves, you know, because they're all wearing, like, you know, brown habits and all that kind of. So they drag them back on the boat and they take them home. And they present them all to the king, you know. And the king says, you should never have gone. Yeah, I didn't give you permission, all that. Yeah, but look, and they give him all the riches because they've raided
all the
churches.
Yeah.
And they've got like these, you know, giant gold crosses and all this kind of stuff.
Candelabras.
Yeah, nevertheless, the big boss isn't very happy that he's gone and done that.
Right.
But the most interesting person, and that's as far as we've got so far, is Rhaegar's wife.
Okay, who's that?
Is this
an American thing or is it British?
No, it's British.
Is it?
Well, it's made by Sky Atlantic, so it's probably international. So his wife is a very beautiful blonde who likes a lot of shagging, She's always jumping on him, you know, bouncing up and down on him and all this kind of
Rhaegar.
Stuff. On Rhaegar. Who likes a bit
Mrs.
of himself. Yeah, that's right.
We can't blame him.
Can't blame him at all. Anyway, when he goes away on the first mission, these two fucking, like, villains turn up at her house, you know. And they say, ho, your husband is away. We've seen his boat go. We're going to have some fun with you. And she says, what do you mean? And they say, you know what we mean. And if you don't resist, we won't have to kill you.
Yes.
She said, you could not kill me. She says, we could kill you any time we want. Mm-hmm. And she said, you could not kill me in 100 years, you bastards.
Mm-hmm.
And she turns out to be, I mean, amazingly able.
Yeah.
And she takes a hot iron out of the fire.
Yes.
You know, everybody in, like, Norway has a fire with a sword in it. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And sticks it in the first guy's face, right, blinding him and burning his face.
Sounds very brutal, this.
And then she picks up, like, a swirling sort of stick, you know, with a lead weight on the end, and whacks the other guy across the face, knocks him out, you know, and then cuts his bollocks
off. Sounds a bit unrealistic, this, doesn't it?
No, and you know, she's a fiery warrior herself.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Fiery.
Fiery warrior.
Do you mean fiery?
Fiery warrior, yeah. And she gets rid of them, and they never come back. Obviously, now on the second mission, which he's got permission to do,
how long has this been going on? Because I thought Vikings was launched ages ago.
No, it's about five episodes.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm certain. Yeah,
yeah. I remember it being advertised quite heavily.
Yeah, yeah. So then what happens is she goes on the second mission.
Yeah.
But when they get there, this time they go to Durham, right, and they raid the Durham Cathedral and get all the stuff again.
Yeah.
But one of the guys who's on the boat has been put there by the big chief to watch over everything, to make sure they don't get any of the riches themselves.
Yes.
And he starts raping women in the cathedral.
Oh, dear.
So Rhaegar's wife, who's the only woman on the mission, doesn't like this.
Right.
And says, you should stop that.
Yeah.
And he says,
so she's actually on the boat?
She's on the boat. Right. She's a member of the army.
Okay.
And he said, stop that. You know, I don't want to see you raping women. He says, fuck off.
Right.
Kills the woman he's raping.
Yeah.
And then tries to rape her. Big mistake.
Blimey.
Don't try and rape Rhaegar's wife.
No.
She then sorts him out, cuts his bollocks off, right?
Yeah.
But the problem they've got now is
they're
going back with all the riches, but without the big chief's man, who she has killed.
So she's killed the big chief's man?
She's killed the big chief's man.
Well, that's dangerous.
Yeah, but it's bloody good stuff.
Is
it's great fighting, great rivalry, you know, great... well, terrible violence, really. Horrible violence.
It's
sticking people's faces into the coals and all that.
It's not a family show.
But nevertheless, very good.
Okay. Mm. All right. Well, that's not bad. I mean, so we've got the Vikings, which you recommend.
Yep.
We've got Killing Eve, which you also recommend.
Yeah.
And then, finally, the Succession.
Yes.
Which you also recommend.
Oh, I recommend
They're
them
all very, very violent. One's about a psychopath.
Yeah.
One's about a sort of mad killing machine.
Yeah, that's right.
And the other's about sort of crazy S&M activity.
Yeah, that's right.
And all sorts of nasty shenanigans.
No, it's terrible.
Have you not got anything that kids can watch?
Well, there is. This one, and I can't remember what it's called now, because I think it's fucking awful,
right,
but it's Jack D, the comedian.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know he was still around.
Yeah, he's still around. Mm. And do you remember a spin-off from Only Fools and Horses was The Green, Green Grass of Rome?
Yes, I do. It wasn't very good, though.
No, it wasn't very good. And it starred... it was written by the same guy who wrote John Somebody. John Somebody was the writer for Only Fools and Horses.
Okay.
Very famous.
Yeah.
Dead now.
Okay.
Lived near me in Surrey.
Mm.
But he wrote this one as well, Green, Green Grass of Home, which starred the bloke who played...
Was it Royce?
Boyce, that's Boyce. Right, Boyce. In
Boyce.
With his wife.
With his wife.
And his wife, the actress, came on one of our shows once. She was a big fan of the two mics, right?
You know,
Marlene.
Yeah,
Marlene and all that, you know. So this is exactly the same as that, but it's Jack D.
Right.
And the theme tune to it is... do, 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 we're feeling fine.
Yeah.
Hermits. On your mind.
Yeah.
I sort of imagine for a week or two.
Yeah.
Something tells me I'm into something good. And I think it's called Something Good. It's about them moving to the country.
Yeah, I remember watching it and thinking it was fucking awful.
It was dreadful.
Awful.
Absolutely dreadful.
I wasn't even a massive fan of Only Fools and Horses.
No.
I know that is kind of sacrilege to say.
Yeah.
But because I was in America time it was on, I never really kind of got into it.
But I'm not talking about Green, Green Grass of Home. I'm talking about this new one called Something Good, okay?
Oh, right.
And this is Jack D.
Mm.
And Jack D's always been a straight-faced comedian, hasn't he? He's never, like, riotously laughing like Jimmy Tarbuck or somebody, you know?
No.
It's always been straight-faced.
He's quite
stuff.
Dry.
Very dry. And what happens is, you know, it's this about moving to the country, all the country yokels and all that, the house is falling down, holes in the roof, sheep eating the grass in the... But it's awful. Mm. It is truly bloody effing awful.
I mean, where do they find the people think that these are good shows to put out?
I have no idea. I mean, you and I, you know, at the O2 in Shepherd's Bush, raise a laugh about every 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I didn't laugh once during this.
No.
It's just not funny. They're awful, absolutely bloody awful.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder whether TV is such a monopoly of people scratching each other's backs, and they just put these shows on and pay people money.
You do have to say,
you know,
even with all of the stuff that we see around, I mean, like when I was watching The Bodyguard, right?
Yeah.
You know, people pop up, but they've been in something else.
That's
you know?
Right.
They're all the same crowd.
Exactly.
Like the guy who played the sort of devious sort of intelligence chief inside of Downing Street.
Yeah, that's right.
Turns out he was in the thick of it.
That's right.
You know, he played this kind of, you know, deep thinking guy in the thick of it.
Yeah.
You know, everybody who's in it has been recognised from somewhere else.
I know. I totally agree.
And I think Killing Eve is similar. Even though it's not, it looks more of an international sort of you know, production.
Yeah, sure.
It's still got all the same people that appear in all the other shows.
That's right.
That they're all in.
That's right. Totally agree with you.
It's absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
Well, that was Porky Vision.
It was.
We are the two.
Pretty shocking, Porky Vision.
It was.
He used to go to this place in Berlin
where
what he really liked was having his bollocks put in a vice. Right? Yeah, he loved it. He loved it.
I mean, why would you?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't
also, know. You know. The question I always have for these guys is how did you know you liked that?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, at what point, you know, did you have an accident and somehow find your balls trapped in a vice?
Exactly.
You know. Do you remember that scene in, I think it was one of the, it was a Casino?
Yeah.
Or one of those movies, or Goodfellas maybe, where they put the guy's head in a vice.
Oh, yeah.
And they basically squeeze his head so hard that his eyes pop out.
Oh, dear.
It's horrible.
Oh, it's horrible, yeah. But anyway, so he sits over this vice, they put his bollocks in it, and she tightens it up, you know, because she's killed the masseurs and taken her place.
I see.
You know,
he thinks he's getting a massage.
He thinks he's getting a massage, yeah, but you know, she knows all about this, right. So she's winding it round, and then it gets so painful that he has to be given oxygen, right?
Right.
But what the killer has done is she swapped oxygen for carbon dioxide.
Not the perfume.
No, not the perfume. Right. No, carbon dioxide. Right. Clamps it on his face. Right. So there's...
That's the end of him.
Yeah, so he dies. Yeah.
Imagine being found with your balls in a vice, dead.
That's right. And she takes a hot iron out of the fire.
Yes.
You know, everybody in, like, Norway has a fire with a sword in it. You
know
what I mean?
So,
yeah, that's right. And sticks it in the first guy's face, blinding him and burning his face.
Sounds very brutal, this.
And then she picks up, like, a swirling sort of stick, you know, with a lead weight on the end, and whacks the other guy across the face, knocks him out, you know, and then cuts his bollocks
off. Sounds
a bit
unrealistic, this, isn't it?
No, and you know, she's a fiery warrior herself.
Yeah.
So his wife is a very beautiful blonde
who
likes a lot of shagging,
does
right?
She?
She's always jumping on him, you know, bouncing up and down on him and all
well,
this kind of
Rhaegar.
Stuff. On Rhaegar, yeah. Who likes a bit
Mrs.
of it himself. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
We can't blame him.
Can't blame him at all.